Greetings, Dale and John here, and welcome to GESPCU, the University of All Things Guaranteed Energy Savings Performance Contracting. This podcast is presented by the Energy Services Coalition and sponsored by the United States Department of Energy. In this episode, we'll turn our attention from the Investment Grade Audit, or IGA, to what is sometimes referred to as a term sheet, but is in fact the GESPC project proposal.
That's right, Dale. And noting the difference between the IGA and this subsequent project proposal is more important than some recognize. The IGA is a study of the existing utility and operational consumption and costs. It includes the variables that impact those savings and set of recommended improvements in the form of retrofits, replacements, and other activities. The proposal is then the summary of those recommendations and their associated costs to implement and how those implementation costs will be funded and repaid.
Wow, that's a great point to make, John. As from a procurement perspective, paying for a study is a well-justified fee-for-service effort, supported by the recommended performance contracting process of competitive procurement as outlined in the Energy Services Coalition posted model instruments to guide performance contracting. Rarely, if ever, is it considered reasonable to pay for a proposal. And so this proposal, as a part of the IGA contract, is but a resultant summary arising from the study, but certainly not the reason for the IGA fee. So let's outline the content that makes for a great performance contracting project proposal.
Well, for starters, it's customary and helpful for reviewers if the project proposal starts with a brief introduction that reviews how the parties arrived at this proposal. It may include citing any appropriate performance contracting legislation, the ESCO selection process and results, and of course, the facilities and systems included in the IGA.
Following the brief introduction, the facts of the proposal should be presented so as to illustrate the proposed work to be completed and the associated costs. Now, this includes the total amount that the institution will pay for all of the services of the project to fulfill the implementation of the recommended measures and the services, the financing, and any and all of the activities that follow over the full term of the agreement, including the post-construction services, things like operation and maintenance, if any, and annual measurement and verification in their associated reports. This would typically be called the performance period. And if you're following the ESC model documents, then the price must be consistent with the maximum markups and fees as established in Scheduled D and E.
One clear benefit is that if the work of the IGA followed the ESC model documents, the tables are identical to those in the schedules referenced. Additional detail should include a list of all the services proposed that coincides with the line items and prices offered in the planned time for project implementation, along with the full term of the contract in years.
Next, the proposal should turn to the financing of the project. Project funding can come from a variety of sources, each with their own conditions, interest rates, and provisions. And while third-party financing in the form of loans or leases will likely have its own contractual instruments, it's important that the proposal outline a summary of those conditions and stipulations and make clear the cost of money in rate percentage and in dollars. Since final financing cannot yet be procured until the proposal is final and accepted by the owner, the rates stated will likely expire in a certain number of calendar days. This too should be noted. For some projects, implementation funding could include planned buy-downs of the total investment from incentives, capital contributions from appropriations, loans, leases, even in some cases, future tax credit benefits. Each and all of these should be detailed to illustrate the complete financial commitment.
Showing clearly the cost of the project and where the money comes from to fund implementation is a big part of these proposals. Equally as important is how these funds will be repaid by the savings and activities of the work and how they might be impacted by a number of anticipated variables over the life of the project. The cash flow pro forma is a tabular display of the cost to repay the principal and interest of the upfront project financing. It shows how the guaranteed cost savings offset or exceed those costs for every year of the financing term. This pro forma is, of course, based upon all the assumptions agreed to by and between the escrow and the owner or institution remaining constant, a case that is likely to maybe never occur.
Now, what an excellent point, John. To think that all of the impacting variables and assumptions made and agreed to in the IGA would remain the same for the next 20 or 10 or even 5 years would be literally inconceivable. The proposal should make this point clear and refer to the IGA sections that speak to anticipated changes. Variables like weather, the number of occupants in the space, changes in facility and system schedules, even maintenance and operating procedures may have an impact on savings. The way that measurement and verification, math and engineering principles account for those changes and their impact on the repayment of the upfront project funding are a part of what should be clear to all parties in the consideration of a performance contract.
The sorts of changes you mentioned, Dale, are absolutely inevitable. And while those routine changes can be anticipated and how they are managed must be described in the proposal, other non-routine changes, unexpected impacts one could never foresee are also likely to occur. Still, it's the science and engineering of how savings are calculated that should be relied upon to guide these baseline adjustments that will be required. Great partnerships rely on the integrity and ethics of both parties, the ESCO and the owner, to optimize and validate the actual savings that can be achieved for every project.
Well, there you have it. We've walked through the relationship between the IGA and the project proposal and the proposal's contents, bringing us to a major decision point. Presented with all this information about how to modernize and enhance the efficiency and stewardship of the facilities and systems, with the appropriate documentation and following the guides of a well-vetted public sector model, the owner must decide whether to accept the work of the IGA and accept the proposal and move to final performance contract negotiations, or optionally, to pay for the work of the study and just walk away. Assuming that all is acceptable, the owner executes the notice of final approval, which technically launches the next phase in the performance contracting process, the implementation or construction phase. Be sure to join us next time as we highlight some of the considerations for putting your well-documented plan into action. GESPCU, see you next time.